example that Jesus gave to us on how we can talk to God. And so very often we make prayer so much bigger than it's supposed to be. And he gives us this example of just talking with our Heavenly Father in a way that is very simple. And we've looked at all these different aspects of prayer, prayers of forgiveness. Last week, Pastor Pete took us through that. He did a great job from what I've heard. Anyone enjoy Pastor Pete's message last week? Woo! Three of you. The rest of you are still asleep. All right, there we go. That's better. You forgive them? Good. Pastor Pete forgives you. If you didn't cheer for him, it's okay. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about a prayer that I've called, and many others have called, a prayer of deliverance. The last portion of the Lord's Prayer that talks about deliverance from evil. And I want to read Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 13. This is the last tail end of the Lord's Prayer. In fact, we're going to put it on the screens. Can you read it aloud with me? I want to hear you guys be awake. Let's hear it together. Can we read it aloud together? Ready? Go. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, sometimes we read that portion of the Lord's Prayer, and it's like, this is the heavy part. And so my prayer today is that the Lord would speak to us in a profound way from this portion of the Lord's Prayer. So, back, can we stop and just ask God to do that? Is that okay? Let's bow and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. This morning, as we come to your word, we invite you to speak to us. Lord, as we talk about temptation and being delivered from evil, Lord, it's so easy to not see ourselves in this story. And Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you to reveal in us areas of our own hearts that you want to speak to, that you want to address this morning. We invite you to do that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. See, when we think of temptation, it's so very easy to think of those big things, isn't it? We think of temptation, we're thinking of, all right, I'm thinking of murder, I'm thinking of adultery, I'm thinking of like the biggest things that I can think of. And though some of us may struggle with temptations in those directions, I believe that many of us aren't tempted by those giant things. I don't know about you, but I don't have to wake up every morning and say, Lord, please don't let me murder anyone today. Most days I don't have to pray that prayer, right? Some days I do. But most days we don't have to pray those sort of prayers because we are not dealing with that sort of temptation. But we all struggle with some things. We all have temptations in certain areas. In fact, I want to invite you to do something very dangerous. I want you to close your eyes for a second. And I want you to imagine something in your life that you struggle with. Could be a temptation. Could be something that you continually do that you wish and hope and pray that you could not do anymore. Now open your eyes. Now, as we talk about the Lord's Prayer and talk about being delivered from evil, being led away from temptation, I want to encourage you to think about that thing. Because while your issue might not be murder or adultery or fornication or some other thing that we think of as a big thing, we all have things we struggle with, addictions that we wish the Lord would help us to overcome. So I want to talk about those things because those are the things that are important. See, we might not struggle with anger, but maybe you struggle with pride. Maybe you don't struggle with lust, but instead of struggling with lust, you struggle with idolatry. You idolize the things you have or the things that you want. You covet the things that you don't have. See, we all have things that we struggle with, and each one of us are different. And the point is simple. We all have areas that we struggle with, don't we? Some of you guys look pretty righteous right now. We all have areas we struggle with, right? Okay, good. See, if you're like, not me, Pastor, I am perfect, I would submit to you, maybe you struggle with pride. Just put that out there. See, none of us are perfect yet. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, you're not perfect yet. Don't say it with too much judgment in your voice, please. See, all of us have a long ways to go. See, even if those of us who have walked with Jesus for a long time, the Bible declares that he is transforming us from one degree of glory to the next. He is making us more like him. That's the pursuit of our faith, that we would be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. But I'll tell you something, every single one of us, we're not there yet. We're not there. We're all still growing in our likeness to Jesus. And God is wanting to do those things from us and in us and sometimes through us in our lives. And I'll tell you something, the good news is that we have a Father in heaven. And like any good father, he doesn't want to deliver us to evil. He wants to deliver us from evil. Can I get an amen? That's a good thing. See, we have a Father in heaven that loves us enough that he wants to set us free from the things of evil. With a show of hands, how many of you, when you are facing something evil, you want to be delivered from it? You're like, I don't want to go towards a lion that's hungry, right? I want to be delivered from that thing, whatever it is. See, here's the big idea. If you're taking notes this morning, the first fill in the blank on your note sheet that you got this morning is this. We all struggle with temptation. We all struggle with temptation, but we have a loving Father that wants to help us to overcome it. See, we have a loving Father that says, I want to deliver you from evil, those temptations, those things you struggle with. And we all have areas that we struggle, areas of temptation, but that's neither a justification nor an excuse. But it is something, it's important for us to know that. See, we're often tempted by those subtle things. The temptation to do what works instead of what's right, right? To take the shortcuts instead of doing things the way that we know we're supposed to do. The temptation to do what's easy, like as a parent, maybe to set your child down in front of the TV and let the TV babysit for a while, instead of doing what's right. There's temptations in a million different ways. Things that we want to take shortcuts on doing, things that God says, no, I want you to go the long route. There's things that God wants to do in us. Sometimes there's even a temptation to do the things that we've always done. How many of you get stuck in habits? Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good, but sometimes we even have the temptation to say, well, I've always done it this way. And God would say, but I want you to learn to do it a different way. We can even do the right things with the wrong motivations, can't we? Self-serving interests. See, when we realize that each and every one of us struggle and are tempted to do things that maybe are not the ways of God, it's helpful. But the good news is that I want you to all look over here at this red sign over by the door. It says exit. That the God of heaven, whenever we are struggling with a temptation, whenever we are struggling with something that he does not want us to walk into, he has provided a way for us to escape. And that's the good news, is that we have a loving Heavenly Father that wants to help us to overcome our temptation. See, the Bible tells us that every one of us struggle with temptation, and the things we struggle with, they're common. This is what it says. I'm going to read the first part of 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. In other words, the things that you struggle with, there's people in this room and people around this world that struggle with the same sort of things. So nothing that we face is unique. It's common to others. But we have a good Father in heaven, a Father that wants to help us when we struggle, because though we all struggle with temptation in some way, we have a Father that wants to deliver us from evil. Amen? So I want to look at a couple different ways from the Lord's Prayer and from elsewhere in Scripture that we can use to implement in our lives to overcome temptation. Because we're all going to feel it. Siri doesn't know the answer. Only the Word of God has the answer. Sorry, Siri. She doesn't even know, does she? She heard my voice. Hey, Siri, go to sleep. 5 steps to overcoming temptation. I want to give you the first one is this. The first thing we've got to do to overcome temptation is we've got to identify what makes me the most vulnerable. I've got to identify what makes me the most vulnerable. That isn't saying I want you to identify what your temptations are, but what makes you most vulnerable to those temptations. Now, what I mean by this is this. When are you most vulnerable? Where are you at when you're most vulnerable to temptation? What's your emotional state? Are you sad? Are you tired? See, are there certain places in your life that you find yourself more likely to fall into temptation? And that's important for us to identify that question. In fact, Jesus talked about this in Matthew 26:41. As he was praying in the garden, he asked his disciples this. He said, I want you to watch and pray that you might not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, the bad news about that story is that the disciples fell asleep. They couldn't stay awake because their spirit was willing, but their flesh was weak. But oftentimes we want to do the right things. Our spirit is willing. We say, God, I want to go in the ways that you say I should go. But very often our flesh is weak. And we've got to learn to identify those areas of weakness in our own selves. Now, the ways that you are prone to be tempted are different from the person sitting next to you. So I don't have a clear, specific rule, but you've got to begin asking God, when am I most likely? When am I most tempted to fall into those temptations? And some useful questions you can ask yourself is, when am I most tempted? Some of us find ourselves struggling with whatever temptation we've got late at night when no one else is awake. Some of us find ourselves in different places, different seasons, different moments. Are there moments maybe when you're extremely tired? Where are you when you're most tempted? Maybe it's with a certain group of friends, or maybe it's at work, or maybe it's at home, or maybe it's in a certain cafe that you go to, or maybe it's when you're traveling for work. Where is it that you are when you're most tempted? Who is with me? Maybe there's certain people that when you're around, you find yourself struggling with temptation more than others. You've got to begin to ask yourself that question, who is with me? Because maybe I need to make some changes to those friends that I'm hanging out with. And how do I feel right before I'm tempted? You know, we might call this emotional triggers. Maybe when I'm stressed, I find myself overindulging in food and overeating. Or maybe I find when I'm stressed out or depressed, I turn to alcohol instead of turning to God. Maybe there's things in our lives that we deal with. We know that they're coming. That when I'm stressed, that's when I'm most prone to feel tempted in this particular way. And we've got to learn to identify those things in our own lives. What's true for you is not going to be true for the person sitting next to you. So we've got to ask ourselves the questions and ask God to reveal those things in us, those sources of temptation in our lives. Because you can't avoid a punch that you don't ever see coming. You know, if I'm in a fight and I see a guy go like this, I'm standing next to him, I'm thinking, he's probably going to start punching soon, right? And so if I can't learn to identify those times when I'm most susceptible to temptation, then I will not be able to overcome those. See, we believe what the Bible declares, that each one of us is made in the image and likeness of God. But he's made us unique. He's given us unique giftings, unique abilities, unique strengths. That's one of the things we love to do in our Next Steps class, is help you to discover your purpose, how God has made you unique. And part of that thing is understanding that while we are uniquely gifted, we also have unique temptations. The things that we struggle with, that I struggle with, maybe are different than the things you struggle with. And that could be true because of my upbringing. It could be true from the experiences I've been through. Maybe I grew up in a household that was filled with anger and rage, or I grew up in a household where I saw alcohol be used in excess. Or maybe there's things that I've just got to bend towards a certain type of issue. But whatever it is, we've got to learn to identify those things in our lives and say, God, would you help me to identify and to do the next steps as well? See, because here's the deal. We don't get to choose our temptations. I want you to know that. We don't get to choose our temptations, those things that we struggle with. Although sometimes we wish, man, I wish I struggled with that thing because it'd be easier. But we don't get to choose those things. And while we cannot choose what tempts us, we can't control those things. We can't identify those areas. And then we can do the second step, which is to intentionally avoid our sources of temptation. Now, this is just practical wisdom. There's no great wisdom that's here that you don't already know, obviously. But we've got to think about those things. See, I've got to make a plan of action. See, if I struggle with alcohol, then maybe when I drive home from work every day and I pass that bar I used to hang out at, maybe I need to pick a different course home. Maybe I need to stop driving by the same liquor store that I used to go to all the time. You know, if I deal with anger, I've got to separate myself from those sources of anger, those things that cause me to be led into temptation. Proverbs 4:26 says that we are to ponder the path of our feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left, but turn your foot from evil. See, on the road of life, quite often, we're in the driver's seat. And I get to choose the arguments I get into. I get to choose the road that I go down each and every day, sometimes physically when I'm in the car, but other times emotionally. I get to choose those people that I spend time with, that I engage with. I get to choose those things that I do with my life. And life is about planning. The proverb says that we're to ponder. We're to think about the path of our feet. Think about the places that you go to. If you know you've got a source of temptation here, then I can't with good conscience pray, Lord, deliver me from evil as I go to the bar. Right? If I've got a problem with alcohol, I can't say, Lord, deliver me from evil as I go sit down at the bar. That's not really wisdom at work, is it? I've got to ponder the path of my feet. But it takes planning. It takes being intentional. Now, it doesn't mean we'll never stumble if we avoid the places that once caused us to stumble. But there's practical wisdom to be gleaned here. Sometimes I believe we've got to literally chart a new course for our lives. See, if we struggle with areas, I don't know what it is that you are, your sources of temptation in your life, but you've got to learn to identify those things and say, Lord, how would you have me avoid those things? For some, it's going to be practical things. If you struggle with pornography or other addictive behavior online, you're going to have to set up filters on your computer, accountability partners to check in with you, to see how you're doing. Whatever those areas of struggle are, we've got to identify those and then take intentional steps to say, God, if I'm tempted in that direction, then I want to avoid it. I want to put a barricade. I want to put a roadblock. I want to put up some guardrails so I stay on the road. Because if I know there's a cliff on the other side of that guardrail, I'm going to avoid it. And so we've got to set up those things. And I'll just say this, the what is not universal. What is it that you're tempted with? But you've got to set up a plan to intentionally avoid it. I'll read the second part of that passage from earlier, 1 Corinthians 10. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, but God is faithful. Say faithful.
Faithful.
God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also what? Provide the way of escape. Say those words with me. Provide the way of escape, that you might be able to endure it. Now, some of us, we wonder, we go through seasons in our lives and we say, God, why didn't you give me a way out? And God's saying, there's an exit right there. I made a way for you to get out. See, God won't force us to go take the exit, but he'll always provide a way for us to escape temptation. But sometimes we are so focused on whatever's going on around us, we put blinders on to the holy exits that God places in our path. So the good news is that God will always provide a way for us to escape it. But we've got to take the exit. Amen? So we've got to identify what makes us vulnerable. We've got to intentionally avoid those sources of temptation. And the third thing is we've got to guard our hearts from it. Guard your heart from it. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Let me just say this. Temptation always begins within us. Some of us have a wrong view of temptation. We have a wrong perspective of those things that tempt us. The Bible continually reminds us of this truth. Some of us think, man, I'm tempted by my eyes. When I see that thing, or that person, or that whatever, that's when I'm tempted. But the Bible declares that temptation begins in the heart. It begins somewhere deeper within us. In fact, I love what James tells us. Because sometimes when we're tempted, we think, God, how could you allow this to happen? God, are you tempting me? But this is what James 1:13 says. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when? When he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. See, God does not tempt us to sin. But sometimes we believe that lie. We believe that God has led us to those things. And there's a reason that Jesus encourages us to pray this prayer of deliverance. Father, would you deliver me from evil? Would you keep me from temptation? Because we've got to take steps to line our will with God's will. No, I love the Psalms, and I love reading the Psalms of David in particular. Psalm 51 especially is dear to my heart. Because I love Psalm 51 because David is probably the worst role model in the world, yet he's a guy who keeps coming back to God. Even in the midst of his sin, even after he's failed and blown it in ways that we'd say, well, let's just wash our hands of David because he screwed up too big. He continues to come back to God. Psalm 51 is an example of a prayer just like that. This is what he says. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, what David understood was that the things that he had done on the outside, those were but a symptom of what was happening inside of his heart. He understood that he had not guarded his heart, and he had allowed lust and those temptations and the things that were within him to covet and to lust and to do the things that he was struggling with. And he understood that what he needed was not just forgiveness, he needed God to give him a new heart. And so wherever you are in your struggle to temptation, sometimes we fail, sometimes we stumble, but we've got to remember this, that we've got a God who wants to deliver us from evil. And we've got a God that we can come to and say, Lord, would you clean out my heart? I need you to do heart surgery on me today, because I've allowed things to get in my heart that are not of you, and I want you to give me a new heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 119 tells us that we guard our hearts with God's word. See, some of us have just got garbage in, and so our lives just have garbage out. Some of us need to say, Lord, would you guard my heart with your word? Would you allow me to come to your word and hear from you that I might be saved? So we've got to identify the sources of our temptation. We've got to make active steps to avoid those sources. We've got to say, God, would you guard my heart according to your word? And then fourthly, we've got to ask God for deliverance. You've got to ask God for deliverance. I believe this is the reason Jesus gave us this portion of the Lord's Prayer. Because God has made a way of escape for us. He's given us power over sin at work in our lives, power over temptation's lure in our hearts. But we've got to ask God, God, would you deliver me from those things? Sometimes we feel like asking God for something like this is a sign of weakness. And I would submit to you that that's okay. That we are never more strong than when we rely on Almighty God. We are never stronger than when we will submit to Almighty God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your power. I need your strength. I need your help. Because that's in the exact moment that God's power is able to be at work in us. See, some of you have struggled with temptation. You've struggled with addiction. You've struggled with things that you thought you'd never be able to overcome. And let me just tell you, I'll tell you the bad news first. On your own, you might not ever be able to. But with God, all things are possible. God can set you free from addictions. He can set you free from old ways of thinking. He can set you free from those sources of temptation. But you've got to come and ask him. You've got to say, God, I need your help. God, I need you. Psalm 50:15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. See, the key word there is we've got to call. Some of us, we've got the hotline to God, but we never pick up the phone. We never call on God through prayer. We never say, God, I need your help. God, I'm going to pick up the phone and say, I need you to help me. I'm struggling. I'm worried. I'm anxious. God, I need you. We've got to pray this prayer of deliverance. See, the psalmist gives us this encouragement that if we will call upon God in our time of trouble, that he will deliver us. But we've got to pick up the phone. Amen? We've got to pick up the phones. We've got to ask for deliverance. The fifth and final point this morning is that you've got to find a support system. You've got to find a support system. What do I mean by that? See, some of us have bought into this lie that as we, man, I don't have to pray, God, don't make me murder anyone today anymore, so I'm good now. I don't need anyone else in my life. I've matured, right? I've got this down. I've got this Christianity stuff down. I know how to do this thing. I don't go to the bar anymore and get drunk like I used to. I don't have fits of rage like I used to. I don't have these desires of lust anymore like I used to. Whatever those things, they will say, man, I'm good now. I don't need anybody. I've got this. But that's a lie. See, this side of eternity, each one of us will still struggle with temptation in some way. Maybe not in those same ways, but God is refining us. He's making us more and more like him. And as we grow in the likeness of Jesus, we need other people in our lives that can help us, that can encourage us, that can challenge us, that can speak truth into our lives when we can't speak truth into our own situations. People that can be there for us, because you are not there yet. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're not there yet. You guys really like doing that. See, but here's the problem. So many of us have bought into this lie that we'll believe it's not okay to be not okay. You know what I mean? And within the church especially, we have this misguided idea that it's not okay to not be okay. So I'm going to ask, how are you doing? I'm good. Good. And my life is falling apart on the inside, and things are not going the way I hoped, and I'm almost out of hope, but I'll say, I'm good. Life's good. Job's good. Kids are good, right? And on the inside, we're saying, no, it's not good. Someone help me! But we never say that. Because we bought into this idea that it's not okay to be not okay. And I'll tell you something, church, that this is a place where it's okay to not be okay. This is a place where it's okay to still have stuff. It's okay to still bring our dirty laundry and our baggage and all the stuff that we carried in with us and say, I'm not okay, would you pray with me? I'm not okay, would you help me? I'm not okay, this stuff is too heavy, would you help me to carry it? See, there's something different about a family. When you see a perfect stranger and you're struggling with carrying your luggage, you're not going to say, hey, buddy, will you help me? But when it's family, it's different, isn't it? Say, hey, help me carry the groceries in from the car. I can't do it by myself. And I believe God wants us to have that same sort of idea. See, we're meant to travel together on this journey of life because we really are better together. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. See, the truth is, when I fall, not if I fall, when I fall, when I stumble, when I have a hard week or a hard situation hits me or hits close to my home or I have a sickness or a death in my family or there's a hardship that I go through that I just need someone, woe to me if I have not anyone to be there. See, we are made to work together. And this is the primary reason that we believe in community groups. It's one of those funny things that we planned on starting our community groups in February. And I don't think it's coincidental that as the Lord kind of laid out this series many, many months ago, that this was the message we were speaking as we were ready to launch our community groups. But that's the reason we've got community groups, because we were made to journey together. I need you and you need me. You need the person sitting to your left and to your right. We need each other on this journey of faith. And that's why I want to encourage you, compel you even, to get plugged into a community group. To make that commitment to saying, God, I'm going to commit myself, not for life, these aren't lifetime commitments, for the next 15 weeks at least, to say, God, I'm going to commit myself to a group. I'm going to be known by others and know their stories. See, because we need walking buddies. Because there's times where we're going to fall down. There's times where we're driving down the freeway of life and there's an accident in front of us and God's given us an exit. We need people to say, hey, have you thought about taking the exit? We need those people in our lives. You need them. I need them. So I want to challenge and encourage you, mostly encourage you. You have a good Heavenly Father who loves you. He doesn't want to deliver you to evil. He wants to deliver you from evil. When you face temptations and struggles and addictions and things that you don't think you can beat on your own, sometimes it can feel like you're enslaved to those things. But God says, I want you to come to me. I'll deliver you from those things. And some of us need to be reminded that we've got to just think, where are those areas that I'm most tempted? Help me to identify those sources of temptation in my life. Some of us have to be reminded that in this season of life, I've got to take a different road home. What does that road for you look like? I don't know what it is. Only the Spirit of God will reveal those things to you. But what are those areas that you need to avoid? Ask God. See, this is a place where we can call upon Almighty God, and His word is sure. His word is trustworthy. He says He wants to deliver us from evil. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Heavenly Father, deliver us from evil and lead us not into temptation." But the promise is true that if we'll call upon God, if we'll ask Him to deliver us from evil, if we'll ask us to lead us not into temptation, He will. But we've got to ask Him. And as we go down this journey of faith, we need one another. I don't know if you've got people like that in your life or not. But you need people like that. I need people like that in my life. And I guarantee you do as well. People that can encourage you, can love on you when you need loving, that can correct you when you need correction, that can point out the obvious exit signs when you miss them. We need those people in our lives, don't we? Would you bow with me as we conclude our time in prayer this morning? Bow your heads and close your eyes.
It can be a milestone for us in this house. It can be a milestone for your heart, for your family. It can be a day where you surrender to God and find new life because of that surrender. For some of you, it's going to be your day of salvation, the day that you decide to be a Christian. But for all of us this morning, I believe that God has really been gently encouraging and reminding us that yes, we are all subject to some temptation, but we have a loving, loving, amazing Father who wants to help us with that victory, to overcome it and move forward, to break those chains that we have felt under so that we can run with Him. We need to turn our eyes towards Him and pray this simple, yet sometimes scary, uncomfortable, but life-changing prayer. Will you raise up your hands this morning with me and surrender to God's ways? Will you raise up your hands as with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, and ask Him to deliver you? Will we not put on that fake facade of everything's okay, everything's fine, and pretend? But are we going to ask God to deliver us from our temptations? I ask for all of us, any of you that's feeling a stirring on your heart, go ahead and raise those hands. And let's pray to God. Father in heaven, I thank You that You are a good Father, a Father that I can trust. I thank You that You have already paved the way for me to be set free from the power of sin and temptation work in my life. Thank You for being a God that helps to deliver me from evil, to guide me in Your ways of life. Help me to identify what makes me most vulnerable. Help me to avoid my sources of temptation. I ask You to guard my heart, that we follow after David's example, that You create in us a clean heart and renew our spirits each and every day. Lord, I pray that You deliver me from that evil, that we would remember the Lord's Prayer, that we'd make it our own, and we'd live by its principles every day. And finally, Lord, help me, help us, God, to surrender ourselves to the others that are around us, with others who love You on our after the same thing, or after the journey towards Jesus. Bring us closer and closer together. And Lord, I pray for everyone here that we would be able to connect with a group, that we'd find our group that You'd have for us, that they'd be the right people at the right time, that we would be able to connect and do life together, to find places for encouragement, to give it to others and to receive it from others, so that that temptation and that evil that is around me, we will be free from. May my eyes always be fixed heavenward to see You, Lord, in everything. Amen. Now, one more. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to give an opportunity. Go ahead and lower those heads. Close those eyes. With every head bowed and every eye closed, for those of you who have not entered into a full surrender with God, who haven't given yourselves over, this might be your day for salvation. God's been waiting. He's there always, just extending his hand out, stretching, wanting you to hold on to it. So the question this morning is, will you? Because I don't believe that you are here by accident. I don't believe that circumstance placed you here. I think you're here on purpose. And if that's you that wants to surrender to God fully, to give your life, to accept that you are a sinner and that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, go ahead and lift up your hands. Raise your head and look at me now. Amen. So be it, Lord. Can you repeat this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life and heart to be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you always. And in your name I pray. Can we say it? Amen. Can we clap our hands, celebrate with those who just accepted Jesus for the first time? Amen.